As we have been reading through the Gospel of John, in the very first chapter of John, we find these words. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And then similarly, in other Gospel accounts, we have stories of Jesus calling the disciples to follow him. He said to Simon, who was called Peter, and also to Andrew, "Follow me." Then to James and John, who were also fishermen, "Follow me." And to Matthew the tax collector, "Follow me." Then to the rich young ruler, we read that Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." To another person, Jesus said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And then Jesus called the crowd with the disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." In John 10, he said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." After Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus reunites with the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. And then Jesus and Peter go for a walk. And Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." And Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus said to him, "What is that to you? Follow me." There's times when we have a conversation and the assumptions are all wrong. I'm talking about one thing and you're talking about another thing, and we both think that the thing that I'm talking about is what you're talking about, and you think that what I'm talking about is what you're talking about, but actually they're not. And sometimes those conversations can be quite comical, and other times they're confusing and difficult. And increasingly it's true for the disciples and for Jesus. The disciples don't understand what Jesus is talking about, and they're confused. I mean, the disciples see him as a Messiah, and the assumption is that he will come as king and that he will overthrow the rulers and they will establish a kingdom on earth and they will be free of the Roman oppression. But Jesus keeps talking about the kingdom of God, this heaven come to earth that will transform all of life, that is here and is present and is real and is transformative, and yet is an upside down kingdom that is beyond the physical. And yet it is part of the physical. It is real. And that's kind of the backdrop to what we see as we begin this in the passage that we're going to look at today. In John 13 and in the following chapters, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. They've gathered in the upper room for a meal at Passover. Jesus surprised them by getting up from the table to wash their feet, an act of love and of compassion. And then shockingly, Jesus says that one of them will betray him. But mysteriously, Jesus releases Judas to go and do what he has chosen to do. And then Jesus confronts them with the news that he is going away and will leave them. Jesus understands their confusion and calls them little children. I'm going to read beginning in John 13 with verse 33. "Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. But you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards. Then Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not then believe me, believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Jesus says that he is leaving them and that they say that they will follow him, but he says they can't come with him, not this time. Now they've heard this before. It was easy to think that Jesus meant that other people couldn't go, like in John 7 when he's talking with the Pharisees and the chief priests. So of course they can't go. They're not his followers. They're not his disciples. But we're his chosen disciples. We can go with him always. We've walked the country together. We've spent time together. We've always been able to be together. They hadn't yet figured out who would be what position in his new government, but they knew there would be leadership positions among them and that they would be with him. This can't be. And Peter really insists that he will follow him anywhere that Jesus is going. Peter even vows that he'll lay down his life for Jesus. In fact, shortly, Peter will try to intervene when they arrest Jesus, and he cuts off the ear of the slave of the high priest. But now, Jesus tells Peter the truth, that he will deny him three times. Jesus doesn't say it as a rebuke, nor is he angry or in despair over what will happen. Jesus simply states the fact. On that night when everything goes wrong, they've arrested Jesus and are planning to crucify him. And life falls apart, and Peter is scared. They never thought that Jesus would be crucified. He's the Messiah. Peter is scared, and he denies Jesus 3 times. Jesus knows they can't go with him. They aren't ready yet, and they have work to do. The disciples can't come with Jesus, but they are given a new commandment to love. They're to love each other the same way that Jesus loves them. And that God who sent Jesus loves them as well. For now, love must be their focus. It really makes me think of 1 Corinthians 13, and I love this passage in the Message Bible where it says, "But for right now, until that completeness, we have 3 things to do to lead us toward consummation. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly. And the best of these is love." Love is the way that the world will recognize God. They have been followers of Jesus. They've traveled with him. They've lived with him. They've taught with him. They've worked with him. But now Jesus says that he is leaving. And he tells them that they must carry on. The way to do that is to establish themselves as a group of people that love each other. Now remember that this is really a diverse group of people chosen by Jesus as the disciples. They had widely divergent political views. You have among them a zealot who is working to overthrow the Roman government with violence if necessary. You have a tax collector who has been employed by the Roman government to collect taxes from the people. And you have fishermen, just common ordinary people catching fish for a living. As some have suggested, Jesus separated them when their arguments got heated about the best way to do life and to deal with life in Israel as they faced it. Now Jesus knows that they must transfer their devotion to him to one another. Their work is not done. They have a future, but love is the way. He still knows that they don't get it, and he tells them not to be troubled and to trust God and to trust Jesus. In John 14:1, many translations use the words believe. Believe in God and believe also in me. But the New International Version gets it right this time and uses trust just as the Message Bible does. It isn't about head knowledge or about beliefs. It's all about putting our trust in God, our trust in Jesus. That word can be translated either way, and we've put the emphasis in the wrong place. It's all about trusting God in this transition time as we face the next. Jesus is leaving them and going back to God, this place of eternity that is now, preparing for them to come. He speaks of it in a metaphor of a dwelling place where they can all live together. It is large. It's full of many rooms and full of diverse peoples, all the people that follow Jesus. Later, Jesus expands on this and says, "Those who love me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." So all who love are the place where Jesus and God dwell. That is heaven on earth, the new kingdom of God. And then Jesus says, "You know the place where I am going," as if it's a settled thing. It's a settled knowing. Actually, Jesus has told them all along how to do this. He said, follow me. I will show you and lead you. We've done life together these past few years, but I've always simply called you to follow me. It will continue to be the same. Follow me. Do the things I've told you. Listen for the next steps. Really, I think following means continuing to live out the things that Jesus taught them. But they're still confused. Thomas asks the question this time, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus tells them simply, it's me. I am the way. Follow me and follow my ways. I am the way and the truth and the life. Remember all that I've taught you. Remember to love one another. Remember to serve each other and to care for each other. Take care of the widows and the poor and the alien among you. Don't contemn others. Love them. Heal people. Heal people physically, but also heal their broken hearts. Don't let rules cause you to miss loving people and meeting them where they are. See the good in people. Love your neighbor. Even love your enemies. Remember that I said not to turn temples into a money-making enterprise. Remember that I said you can't worship both God and mammon. You can't serve God and be full of greed and the love of money. Remember to invite everyone to the banquet. Even the poor and the homeless. Even the outcast. Retell the stories of our time together and remember what I told you. And tell others. Write the stories and teachings down. Memorize them. Talk about them. Learn from them. Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The church has actually made this into a formula. Jesus is the way to know God. And that means you must believe in Jesus' death and resurrection. And again, we've put all of the emphasis on the head knowledge, saying that without it, you're condemned. I think it's really much, much bigger than that. Jesus was never impressed by rules or formulas or doing things certain ways. Jesus is much more interested in the heart, in people who follow after him, in people who live out the ways of Jesus. Following Jesus is more than belief in Jesus. It is living out the ways of Jesus in our daily lives, all the time. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Luke 4, we find Jesus' mission statement. When he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. And proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is our mission statement as well. It's work that we are to be about. Too often the church has derailed from this purpose, making it all about getting people saved as if that was really all that mattered, and forgetting about the poor and the captives and the oppressed, forgetting about the outcast. Forgetting about those who are not accepted or welcomed. Judging people as unworthy rather than following Jesus and simply loving everyone. We can't compromise on this. To be followers of Jesus, we have to do it Jesus' way. Jesus is saying that we follow him when we do life his way. following Jesus' ways and teachings. In doing this, Jesus reminds us that Jesus and God are the same. You know one, you know the other. You've seen what Jesus is about. God has the same agenda. Trust me. Love those whom I love. Love everyone. In particular, love the forgotten. Love the outcast. This time it's Philip who asks the question, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus really wants them to understand this, so he explains that Jesus and the Father are one. Believe me when I tell you this. Or at least believe the miracles themselves. But then Jesus shifts from the miracles that he has performed in their presence to the work that they will do in Jesus' name after he has gone. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. Jesus is leaving them, but the work is not done. They must carry on, doing Jesus' work on earth, doing it Jesus' way. In this, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. It is our way. Our truth, our life as followers of Jesus. Let us listen to Jesus who's present, speaking directly to us, showing us the way to follow Jesus, to live Jesus' way. To do Jesus' way. Let us wait.